All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me into the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. We're living in times that I just about don't have to know you as a person to know that in the day we live in, we are all going through some things. How do you know this, brother? Well, I know that the devil is raging everywhere. Every church we visit, he's on the prowl looking for whom he can take out of there. And every person that's in a place of weakness that needs a greater relationship with God, he's riding on their back, tormenting their thoughts, causing them to be tempted and drawn away out into this world. And those of us who are trying, and those of us who are making an effort in ministry, we face the greatest persecution because the enemy does not want us to proclaim the gospel, distribute the gospel, or provide a place where people can be saved. We're in hard times, in other words. We recognize the beginning of this attack a few years ago when the economy, all of a sudden, without rhyme and reason, began to tank. If you remember, the gas prices were soared up over $5, and nobody really could find a good reason to get to church because they needed that gas to get to work. And all of a sudden, as this decline in the economy began to happen, those that were desperate to make their living, crime began to increase in this region. And as you know, a lot of things have transpired from the end of the county to the end. We have seen more evil and wickedness in the past few years than maybe we had even seen in the past 30 that had preceded it. Can anybody agree with me on that tonight? I am not talking about something I don't know about. I was once a drug addict. I was once somebody that nobody would have trusted. But I'm here to tell you tonight that though wickedness is raging rampant in this generation that we're living in, that God is still God, that he has not changed, and that if we will be willing to shine a light to that lost and dying world today, that we can still make a difference in lives right now. I'm here to tell you that they're not too far gone, that God cannot change them. Their mind is not so made up that God can't find room in there to cause them to turn their life around. I am living proof that there is hope in Jesus Christ. I am here only by salvation. You're listening to a guy that should have been dead. I tell people everywhere I go, you should be amazed that you get to hear a dead guy preach. There are many times when I shouldn't have lived, I shouldn't have made it, but God saw fit that I would be here today, and I'm so thankful to know that no matter what it is that goes on in my life, just like the song we sang tonight, do you remember just where I have brought you from? Take a look behind you and see how far you've come. And every time I look back at where God found me, I know that no matter where they are today, that God can still save their life. He can still minister to them by the Spirit. He can still teach them a better life to live and a better way to have. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that those of us that were not willing to suffer a little bit, we're not going to reach them. Those of us that aren't willing to praise the Lord, we're not going to reach him like we should. Those of us who aren't willing to ask him at the gas station, is it well with their soul? We're not reaching them like we should. There was a day I remember when people would ask me, even if I just had a sad countenance, is all well with your soul? But now as the world has went on, we've grown more concerned over what we need, the things that we desire, and we're missing out on those people that are walking in tears right in front of us. We're missing the pain that the Lord wants us to feel when people are going hungry, but we're so selfish, we don't even see that need. And I'm here to tell you that we walk by it every single day. We drive by it every single day. And I'm here to tell you why. Because when we are not dwelling in the secret place of God, our compassion is little. We come in, we go through the motions, we just feel a little bit. But I'm here to tell you what the message is tonight. God is looking for a different kind of spirit. Hallelujah. He is looking for a different kind of spirit. If you read in the 13th chapter of Numbers, we recall on the story where the 12 spies were sent out into the camp to begin to spy out what God had in store for them. As we know, and you read in this chapter, 10 come back, as they say, plumb scared to death, fearful over the giants that they saw in that land. fearful of the weaponry, the strongholds, everything that they beheld with their eyes, that they were afraid. But there was a couple of those boys that had a different spirit about them. It didn't take a great big number to cause them to change their mind, to believe that they could go overtake the enemy. What it was looking at was a different spirit. And what I want to read to you is out of the 14th chapter. Let us read. Let's start at verse 22. That'll be a good spot. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. We're going to come back there and touch that in a minute. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Another way to read that is to say a different spirit within him. His spirit was different than the others that were around him. He was a different kind of person. And hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Glory to God. Lord, help me preach tonight. Oftentimes when we're walking in fear of what we're looking at, instead of walking by faith, our spirit is not the thing that leads us. We begin to be led by our flesh. And I'm here to tell you, there's never been a moment I've walked in my flesh that I cared about anybody more than me. That there's been times where I came to church just to let me be blessed and not worry about those that were coming up to pray. You can act like that you've never went through that in your own life, but I'm here to tell you that if you're sitting here, we've all went through this time in our life, because at some point, what you have desired has been greater than what you have desired to see God see do for others. The evidence of the anointing and spirit of God within you is that you love your brethren, to love your neighbor as you would love you. That means that when we are walking in the flesh, we don't have the capacity to love other people like they should be loved. And I'm here to tell you that when we walk in fear of the enemy and we don't have a different spirit that believes in God, those people that need to go to heaven aren't going to make it to heaven, because they're not hearing the good report that's down in here. I'm here to tell you that I'm going through a lot in my life, but you'll dare not find me talking about how bad my life is. Every time that I try to complain, I find that God reveals to me all the dark days when I found him to be peaceful, and all the times where he has given me joy beyond my greatest measure. I remember one day I'd passed out in the middle of a parking lot and had given my life up to die, took everything I know to take, but yet I woke up another morning and I look back on that now when I go through hard times, and I say, God, I know that I don't see you in what I'm going through now, but God, I see you in what you have done for me. So when I look at the giants of this world and I see the devil raging upon our children and their children and our relatives in this county, I'm not fearful of what I see with my eyes, nor what I will feel down in my heart, but I have a different spirit within me, because I'm foolish enough to believe that God is able to perform exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask of him. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you tell that devil, I believe in the good report. I believe in the good report. I'm not going to claim this stuff that you're telling me that I am or that I have or that I will be. I'm claiming life. That is being a different spirit. That is showing the world that is contradictory to religion and to Jesus Christ that you are still happy even when you suffer. I'm here to tell you that when Jesus spoke of the joy of the Lord, he didn't associate joy with happiness, but that meant finding pleasure in the will of God. If you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength, you have to find pleasure in God's will. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to show up on Wednesday night service. Well, brother, you know it's always better on Sunday. We'll just come on Sunday. It don't always feel good to get up in the choir. Well, I'm hoarse, brother. I don't want to get up here and try tonight. You know, Lord, you see. Or we always say it in our heart from the pew. God, you know my situation. I'm here to tell you that I had a very long day of work, but it's not stopping me one bit from feeling the anointing of God and feeling like that I could run through a troop and jump over a wall, because I'm trying to cause you to think about the important things that God is giving you to do while you still have breath. He wants you to be different. He wants you to talk different. He wants you to walk different. He wants you to be a church that's different. He doesn't want us to go through three songs, handshake, high fives, tithes, and offering, and the word of God, but he wants us to go through those things with a different spirit, so that we don't just let it be the motions, but we'll come in and enjoy the will of the Father. I feel like preaching in here. You just thought we had started. We're just beginning. Here lately, God has had me dwelling in the silence. We've been preaching on dwelling in the silence and not seeing the silence as an absence of God. And I'm learning that in the times when I do not know the answer is when he's calling me to be the most faithful. It's easy to be faithful when you have a bank account that pays all your bills. But God is moved by a vessel that believes by faith that they will have it paid even when they don't have it to pay it. When you have people that are refusing salvation, they're turning you down. You invite them to church, they say no. When you will still love them like they're already saved and look past their faults and let them see something different, they're drawn by that. I have become friends with complete strangers the past few years. I didn't have any reason to be their friend. I didn't have any reason to call them and check on them and see how they were. But God revealed unto me their need. And for the first times in my life, I just turned 30. First times in my adult life, it's beginning not to be about me. Yeah, I need a job. Yeah, I need somewhere to live. I need a car to drive. All these things in life are things that you'll have to go work for. But it's not what defines me. I don't base how good I have it in God on looking at all my possessions and saying, well, everything's good. There was a woman that was with her son. You read it. She was down to just enough meal to bake for her son and her. But when the will of God was presented, this is powerful. When the will of God was presented in the lack, in the fear, the worry of death for her situation, the welfare of her child, when she put herself out of the way and yielded to the will of God, then we find that when she went back to the barrel, that it didn't run dry. There's a world that's drawn out of a barrel that's empty, but it takes somebody with a different spirit. Come on, church. It takes somebody with a different spirit to reach down in the barrel and say, this is the last $20 I have. But if you need it, I'll give it to you. By that kind of obedience, when you turn back around to your needs, I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about what the money would pay for. When you turn back to your needs, that's where you find God. That's where you find the word when it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. He not only loved us to save us, fill us up with his spirit, but he loved us enough to never leave us without an answer. Now, I've had to understand this mystery through a few trials in my life, but I've learned that there's never a time where I don't have an answer. For some of you, you might be like, you might not want to shake your head, but you might be looking at me like, no, I don't think so. But I'm here to try to preach you into thinking about this so that you can start beginning to be more faithful. There is never a time that I don't have an answer. There's never a time where I worry about lifting my head up in hell. We have that kind of faith. We have the faith to know that if we let God bring out the anointing in us, that the gifts and callings will be there. There's no doubt about that. We know that part is true. But everywhere you see Jesus trying to talk to his disciples, The one thing that he was trying to bring out of them greater was faith. Every time they ever got in a situation with the tempest that they couldn't bring steel in the water, he spoke and had the answer. When they were in the midst of a person that was corrupted by demons, when they didn't know how to cast this kind of thing out, there was an answer. They didn't have the answer, but they knew the answer. Do you know where we're going with this tonight? To walk in a different spirit, God has got to be first in you over everything. I'm talking about what you don't tell me, and I'm preaching about the things you say, the things you read, the things you do when nobody else is watching you, when nobody else sees that mask that you put on where you pretend like everything's okay, but deep down you really need change in you. God is your answer when everything is going wrong, when your back is pushed against the wall. God is your answer when you have lost everything, but yet you still know that something good is on the way. Just when you think that you've lost it all and all hope is gone, then in the moment the life of God begins to turn the situation around. When man was bound for hell without a way of escape, Jesus became our answer. When we needed a comforter to help us and teach us to know the will of God, then God gave us the answer. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I'm here to tell somebody that the answer is not already on its way, but it's already here. For when you know that God is in control of your situation, no weapon then can be formed against you to prosper. But if you're walking in fear, it's going to beat you up all day long, all night long. You won't be able to sleep. You'll be worrying about when it's going to come, when I'm going to get my bills paid, when we're going to see people healed. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by. We walk by something that's different, contradictory to the world. Just imagine, they didn't have modern warfare in this time. They didn't have radar and sonar, drones to fly over. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have nuclear weapons to win the war and make people fear their regime. Just a few folks going to see if they can handle it or not. And you might not see the church in that group of people, but I sure do. I see the church today as those 12. And we're guilty of this, whether you tell me that you are or not. We all are. We've been here. We come in and look around at our problems, and we just don't see victory. So we don't praise God like we've already won. We're waiting for an answer, waiting for a word from the Lord through somebody, waiting on for brother such and such to come and get that song so I can come to the altar, waiting on that special moment where we absolutely feel it so strong that we can't hold in the seat any longer. But that's not the kind of waiting the Bible was describing. When we're talking about waiting on the Lord, we're talking about waiting upon someone who we're expecting. I'm expecting God to bless my situation because by faith I believe it's coming. Praise God. Look at what it is. I wish we could hold it in our hand to see it. But even if you just close your eyes for 20 seconds right now, think about what it is that is holding you from being different. Those are the things that God wants to help you in. He said to cast your cares upon them because he cares about your cares. He cares about you. If you can look at those things you're praying for with a different spirit, day by day, you get stronger. There's some people that have told me that if you're once an addict, you're always an addict. But friend, I don't feel addicted today. I remember I once was one. But he who the Son has set free, he is free indeed. When you understand how to get a hold of God and praise God, then you are liberated from the fear that kept you held back for so long. I would not be a preacher if I never looked and said, I'm well able to do this. I would just be the guy that sat on the back pew and never played, even though I could play music, too bashful. Yeah, that's hard to believe, I know. But God takes a different spirit that doesn't define himself by his fear, but to define yourself by your faith. People think it takes talent, and they're being deceived by this. They think it takes talent to move God. You can turn on the television and get some of the most eloquently arranged praise and worship services down to the very second, where they're able to coordinate PowerPoints, the lighting shows. If you watch some of this, it should begin to cause you to be wondering about what we're feeding the generation to come. It's not in the sound of the music. It's not in the beat. It's not in the presentation, but it's in being different. John was different in his day. You read in the Bible about finding him in the middle of 90-100 degree day with his sackcloth on him down in the river. Repent, ye hypocrites, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can you imagine all the people that talked about John in that hour? You had a man by the name of Noah that in the driest times that you can read about was given instruction to build a boat. All the fun that got made of him, I'm sure. If social media had been around back then, he would have been hashtagged to death. If Facebook would have been around back then, they would have started a Facebook group. Stop Noah. Stop crazy Noah. All the things they said about him. Because they didn't see the will of God. Had they saw the will of God, they would have been trying to make themselves a boat. But when wickedness gets so great, there comes a point where you have to seek for God's will to find safety. We could go on and on about this, but you find it in every miracle that is performed in the Word of God. And I will tell you that the person that is being obedient in that chapter, in that verse, is being different than the world. You can read it in this version of the Bible, and it says, to be ye a separate people. In other words, be different. Everybody can hear a bad situation and just say, well, just hang in there. You'll be all right. Everybody can do that. The world can do that. People that are lost can do that. But what make you different? Would you pray for them right then? Would you tell them that you were going to be praying for them? Would you get their phone number and call them day by day to show your love and prove it to them? I'm just giving you examples. You know how it would work in your own personal life and what you can do to be different. I know in my own life everything that I could be doing better. And I'm just taking the baby steps now. You mean, brother, to tell me you preach and you evangelize and you're just now figuring it out? Nobody's arrived to that place where they're perfect. Nobody's got there. But I'm here to tell you that I'm trying. When people are in need around me, I give to them. When somebody needs a ride, even if it's out of my way, I'll pick them up and take them. When somebody needs something or a service that I work in computers, when somebody needs a service from me, I'll do it, even if it's inconvenient to me. Even if I don't get a dime for doing it, I'm going to do it. It's different. And God has given you all something as a body and as individuals that can cause you to stand out to somebody that's lost. We could buy a 100-foot sign. How many signs do we see around town right now? Oh, my Lord, I'm here to tell you that no matter how many signs you put out there, the people can still choose to ignore it. As many signs as out there, we're still not even going to get more than 20% to go vote. So you can put a sign as big as you want to announce your church times and make it as big as you want to and glamorous and elaborate. But the world has seen that. They need to look and find something different in you. Are we getting a hold of this tonight? I'm not going to go on any further with it. I feel like that God has this word for this body. So look back at what you have worked in for God. Look at the difference that it made, even if it was just for one. And know that that is the true will of God for your life. You might be saying, Lord, what's your will for me? He wants you to be different. He wants you to go and be a light unto this world. For by that the world can be saved. There's no greater truth to be realized than a truth that is lived. Another way to say that is you trust people that are honest, with integrity, that stand behind their word and do what they say. How many people have told you, oh yeah, I'll call you and check on you in a few days. Phone don't ring. Yeah, brother, I'll call you back and get you back up here sometime. They don't call. No follow-up. And you don't even have to wonder what the deal is. They need more of God to be compassionate to others. That's it. As we close tonight, I just want to say, I appreciate your attention. I most definitely do. And I love you, or I wouldn't be here.